Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture today is found in Psalm 123. Hear now the word of God. I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt for the proud. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. At any given time, we have the opportunity to respond. And depending on what has happened before the event happens or somebody says something to us, it can determine how we will respond. How much stress we're under will affect how we respond to certain things. We truly will. Sometimes stress and pressure make the shape different, make the color brighter or duller. Sometimes it makes a difference how we respond. Today we are looking at this psalm, but it comes in a strange place. It comes at the end of the year, the end of the Christian calendar. I love the rhythm of the church because each and every year we get to go on a journey. In 2 weeks, we will begin Advent, the start of the new calendar, the Christian calendar, where we anticipate the coming of the Messiah. Now, we might be celebrating, and the way it looks, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, and yet, in some ways, we're anticipating the second coming of Jesus. And anyway, after 4 weeks of Advent, we'll have Christmas, and then we'll celebrate the 12 days of Christmas. And you'll get to sing that song, hopefully. And then we'll have Epiphany, that day in which we celebrate when the wise men came and gave their gifts. Gentiles acknowledging the Messiah. Epiphany is about light and darkness. And then on Ash Wednesday, we will begin the Lenten season. And we have 40 days of the Lenten season, not counting Sundays, which really makes it hard if you're trying to be good in math. Just sometimes doesn't add up. But the last week of the Lenten season is what we call Holy Week, begins with Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday, then moves to Maundy Thursday, where we celebrate the gift of the Lord's Supper, that night in which we remember Jesus being betrayed and denied, that night in which he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and his disciples went to sleep. Good Friday, we have the trial before Pilate. We have his crucifixion and his burial. Holy Saturday, where there's nothing to say because Jesus is in the tomb. And on the first day of the week, we celebrate the resurrection and we move from the Lenten season to Easter, the 50 days of Easter. 40 days in, we celebrate the ascension of Christ. 50 days in, we have Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who Jesus promised that God would send in his name. And from then till now, we celebrate what the Holy Spirit is doing in the lives of the church and in his people. And so we sit today at the next to the last Sunday of the Christian calendar. It's been a journey since last year, the first Sunday of Advent. Because next Sunday is Christ the King Sunday, a day in which we celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We look forward to his coming, and now we celebrate him as the King of Kings. A wonderful journey. We get to start all over this coming week. It's interesting, these Psalms of Ascent, they were sung, they were repeated, they were on their people who were pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem for high holy days, this pilgrimage. They would go. They would go for those high holy days of Passover, Pentecost, and the Festival of Tents. They would go. They would walk. But no matter how they went, they always went up to Jerusalem. No matter where you are in Israel, you go up to Jerusalem. It is vertically higher, and it gets higher and steeper the closer you get to Jerusalem. And I guess, like most people, the journey is not always easy. And so they talk about the things that they've endured along the way. They really do. I kind of struggle with laments, lamentations. I struggle with them. I think it has to do with the way I was raised. You see, because laments are these honest cries to God. Sometimes they're anger, displeasure toward God. And I'm forced to remember the things that happened in my life. It only happened really once. When I was a misguided teenager. You know, it's hard to believe to think that I was misguided. I had a brain fog or something that happened in my life, but I said something that was totally inappropriate to say to my mother in the presence of my father. And it went something like this. I said it, and he said to me, "I hope you never talk to your mother like that again. If you only knew what your mother had done for you and your brother at this point, you would be singing a different tune." I did not do that again. And so when I hear a lament, when I hear someone speaking out to God in such a way of proclaiming their anger against God, I think about my dad saying, "If you knew who you were talking to, you wouldn't act that way if you knew what they had done for you." Fast forward 10 or 11 years, something like that, maybe longer. My dad dies. 8 weeks later, my brother dies. And my mental health is spiraling downward. I'm mourning, I'm grieving. Half my family is gone in 8 weeks. I begin to wake up in the middle of the night crying. And after about a week of doing this, I cried out, "God, I am mad as hell." I wasn't saying I was mad at God. I was just mad. I didn't know who to tell. I didn't know who to tell that to because it wasn't going to do any good to tell anybody else. But for whatever reason, I quit crying at night. So fast forward a few more years. There was this 20-something-year-old girl who grew up in our hometown who got married, moved to another town, was happily married, and one day she had a wreck and was killed. Word came back home. They started preparing for the funeral. The community encircled this family. They invited a retired United Methodist pastor to come do the funeral. And as we were waiting in line, he comes out having just seen the family, and I asked him how the family was doing. And he said, "Well," I asked the dad how he was doing, and he said, "I'm mad as hell at God. And I don't know if I'm ever going to get over it." And the preacher said, "That's okay. God is big enough to handle your anger." And so that struck me, because I had struggled with that. You probably have struggled with that. At some point in your life, in the midst of whatever's going on in your life, sometimes you can get to that place where you want to lash out. And he said, God is big enough to handle your anger. And so as I pondered that over the years, I came to realize this. I don't want to worship a God who is not big enough to handle my anger or your anger. If our God is not big enough to handle your anger, God is not big enough. I want to worship a God who's big enough to handle my anger and every other emotion I have. And God is. And the other thing is, I believe God loves us so much, he's not going to let your anger or my anger separate us from him. Amen? Sometimes we need to hear that. God truly does want us to be honest with him, to be able to express the truth of where we are, and know that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You see, my dad probably had it a little bit right. If you knew what God had done for you, you might have responded differently. I'm convinced if we could remember and understand that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, we need to remember that, so that we could be in relationship with him. So whatever we're going through at the end of this Christian calendar or this 2020, whatever we're dealing with, let's be willing to be honest with God, because God is big enough to handle all of our problems, all of our pain, all that we're dealing with, and redeem us in the process. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you're a real big God. We thank you that your love is so great for us, that you welcome our honesty. You welcome our pain. You welcome us with open arms. And that none of those things will scare you away, because you're always with us. You're always for us. And you'll never leave us behind. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.